Hello and welcome to Hiring Advantage, the podcast for all things hiring, recruitment, and growing your business beyond your wildest dreams. I'm Chrissy, a hiring and recruitment professional with 12 years experience who has had enough of seeing small businesses feeling overwhelmed and struggling to find the right talent. If you're ready to learn how to hire and retain your dream employees, as well as what not to do, you're in the right place. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Hiring Advantage podcast. I'm Chrissy and I'm your host, and I'm going to chat to you about 7 signs that you are ready to hire. Now, the reason this podcast has come about in this particular episode is because this is a question I get all the time. What do you need to look out for? When do you know that you're ready to hire? When do you know you're financially ready? And there's so many common questions here. Before we dive into it, I've got a little bit of a croaky voice. I perpetually have kiddie daycare bugs. So you'll get to know me well on this podcast, and quite often I'll have the snibbles or a bit of a croaky voice. But look, I'm really excited to chat to you about this today. And I'm actually recording this over Easter long weekend. I've had my family here. I've had a wine. So I'm ready to have a good old chat. Kids are in bed. Let's rock on. So 7 signs you're ready to hire now. I'm just going to preface this with a couple of things. So typically when I'm talking to you about hiring for your teams, I am talking about your employees. Now, we'll talk about this a lot throughout the podcast, but there are 3 ways that you can hire people. There are 3 types of employment. So 1 is subcontractors. So subcontractors are not actually your employees. They are people you hire for a ring fence piece of work. A really good example of this is I have outsourced social media management from time to time. So I pay a social media manager an X amount of money to deliver a specific task. I'm not paying them for the hours they do. I'm paying them for the piece of work. That person, although they might feel a part of my team, they're not an employee. I'm paying them for a specific task. A VA, I'm paying them for a specific piece of work, not dictating when or where they work, what hours they do. They're not your employee. Second type of employment is a casual employee. That's where you are paying them for the hours that they work. You're not paying them for sick leave. You're not paying them for holiday. And the third is a true employee. So you're paying them on a salary. So when I'm talking about hiring, I'm talking about your casual employees or your employees. Now, I'm just going to start this off by saying there's not going to be some light bulb moment that says this is the time to hire. There's no sign that's going to pop up. There's genuinely going to be nothing that strikes you as super, super obvious. So sorry to burst your bubble there. I would love that to be the case. But you do need to look out for signs. You do need to look out for patterns. And this usually becomes a lot more clear the more and more you strategize. So very much how in marketing there's a strategy, in finance there's a strategy, in hiring there's an absolute strategy. And a lot of small businesses don't do this, right? They just get to the point where they're really, really busy and they reactively hire. Any business coach, anyone who's purely strategic and has seen growth, has a plan, has a spreadsheet, has a system, and that will make your life easier. Now, I really want hiring to be fun, so I don't want to bore you with strategy all the time, but I do want to set you up for success and make it easy and make it clear. So I'm going to run through these 7 signs that you're ready to hire, but just to start with, just to say, you know, look, unfortunately, there's not going to be this light bulb moment, and it might feel a little bit uncomfortable the first time, and that is okay. That's totally okay. Number 1 is patterns and predictability in profit. So PPP, all the P's. So you are month on month seeing growth. You're month on month seeing common sales come in. Perhaps you've maintained your client base. Perhaps you sell a certain amount. Perhaps you've got subscribers. This will be completely different depending on the nature of your business. But you are seeing patterns month on month. You're confident when you start the month of roughly what amount of money you're going to make. And quite often you're surpassing that. So you've got that level of comfort. This is huge. And I cannot recommend enough tracking your finances. So as a minimum, profit and loss statements, sales, projections. I regularly look in my spreadsheets around this. I look into Xero. So you're either going to have a system set up such as Xero or another accounting software, or you're going to be pretty comfortable with Excel and you know what's coming in, you know what's going out, and you know what you basically have left over each month. Sales particularly, so important. Knowing where your money's coming from and having that safety net. And it look even better if you've got a little bit of a pot of money sat in the bank. So number two is all about your clients. So having regular clients, being able to maintain your client base, being really confident that your current clients are going to stick around or going to extend. Perhaps you've got referrers coming in, or you've got great testimonials and that client base is growing, or you're getting that repeat business month on month. Again, this goes back to point one. You're seeing patterns. You know where your money's coming from. You're not scrambling around every month, not knowing where you're going to get clients, being totally terrified. You want to have some level of confidence. And you've got great relationships with your clients, and that should be a driver for you, because you really want to service your clients well, and you're only one person, right? So that could be a huge driver for you to hire. Number three, you have sorted your systems. Now, interestingly, I think people assume with my background that I'm always going to push hiring, I'm always going to push recruitment, but that is not true. So for me, I can give you the example of my business. Absolutely, fundamentally, I looked at what I could automate, what I could make a system, and what I could make a process. So there is no way I'm going to bring someone into my business where everything's in my head or in a spreadsheet on my desktop. It all needs to be in a system. And what's really great about automating processes and systems, and I'm a big fan of ClickUp, I've implemented that into my business. Once you've got it all in a system, it's out of your head, and having those processes can save you time. Other people implement automation systems. So Dubsado, for example, or project management systems. I said ClickUp, but it could be a Monday or a Trello board or Excel. Again, you don't have to go down the systems route, but having all your information saved somewhere. So if you were to bring someone on, that information's accessible and you've worked out where you can systemize and automate processes to save you time. I always think of it from a hiring perspective as well. You don't want to bring someone into a business when your process and your systems are all over the place and higgledy-piggledy because they're not going to have a great experience. So if you've done that and you're still getting slammed, you're still getting business, and again, you can see patterns, you could be in a really good place to hire. The next one is you have a wait list or you are regularly booked out. Woohoo, go you, how freaking exciting. This is really interesting. So this is huge and depends on the business that you're in. So let's say you're a hairdresser and you have a salon and you're the only hairdresser in your salon, right? And you've regularly got people coming in saying, hey, I want to get my hair done. I need to get my hair done. You're literally booked out and you can't fit them in. So if you were to hire another hairdresser and you were going to pay them 40 bucks an hour or whatever the going rate for hairdressers is, and they could make $100 an hour doing two appointments. If it's just a haircut, literally you're paying for the building, the maintenance of the scissors and their salary, right? So that's like $50 profit. You pay them $40, $10 for the overheads, $50 profit. Amazing. That's going in your pocket. If it's just you, you're not making that. So let's say you make $50 profit an hour and they work 6 hours. $300, right? That's $300 you're not going to have if you're knocking back your clients because you can't take on that work. You can do the same with so many other businesses. And I see this. I see this where if you're trading time for money, you are one person and you are literally going to hit a roadblock at the point where you are fully booked if you're offering appointments. You're regularly booked out. You've got repeat business. You know where it's coming from. You could literally work out how many people are on your waitlist and then hire someone to service that waitlist. And the other thing you can do is there's two types of employees, really. There's people who are going to make you money, so who are going to service your client. Or there could be another type of employee, such as an administration person, who is going to take that administration off of your plate and free up your hours to service more clients. So you can hire another client-facing person, we can hire a person to relieve you to give you more client-facing hours. But that's a huge one. Having a waitlist or regularly booking out, it's money you are turning down. The next one, so we're on number 5. You feel fatigued and you are bogged down. So really interestingly, we go into small business or we go into self-employment because we want to be our own bosses. We want our own freedom. We're really passionate about the product or the service that we offer. And I mean, I could talk to this from personal experience. You don't necessarily think about all the stuff that is going to come onto your plate that you've got to do to keep your small business afloat. So I knew to some extent that I was going to be getting on Instagram and getting in Facebook groups, but I didn't really factor in, you know, marketing systems and research and filling about with Canva and really tapping into my finances quite frequently and all of the administration around proposals and contracts. And that's when you start and you maybe can't afford to automate things and you can't afford a virtual assistant. It is tiring. You're doing an awful lot of work and you're probably doing double the amount of work if you had a team around you. And when you have a team around you, the type of work that you do changes. What I always talk to my clients about is, what did you go into your business to do? What was your mission statement? What were you really excited about? And ideally, what do you want to be your dream job? Now, if that is being the face of your business, getting out into the community, talking about your product or service, you can't really afford to be chained behind your desk doing a load of administration. It's not going to make you happy and it's not going to make you grow. Maybe you want to be a pure manager and have teams service your clients. Think about what you want to keep and think about what you want to give away. But you are going to feel fatigued if you are doing everything and things that do not light you up. So if you are making good money, if you are getting booked out, and if you feel fatigued, something has got to give. It might just be easier to get a full-time job. You know, why are you getting into this business? Do you love it? Are you tired? Do you see a future in it? And look, I know people who've been solopreneurs for life and they do great, but they don't take holidays ever. You've got to think if that's what you want. Maybe you've got a business you can pick up and put down. Maybe you don't need to hire a team. But if you really want to scale and grow, hiring a team is the way to do it. And if you're exhausted and you can't do it on your own anymore, maybe you do not have to. So number 6, you are paying too much for outsourcing. So I talked a little bit at the start about different types of employment. And we talked about subcontractors or outsourcing. So it will become a time where, you know, there's that reel where like, hey, I'm HR manager. Hey, I'm the finance manager. Hey, I'm the social media manager. Hey, I'm the accountant. Hey, I'm the, you know, all the roles. I think you know which one I mean. You've seen it, right? It is very tempting early doors to want to outsource everything. So to outsource your social media manager, to outsource your finance, to outsource your website, to outsource it all, right? Once you get to the point where you grow, and this is potentially not for the people who are hiring their first person, but if you are an experienced team manager and you're still paying a lot of money to outsource, is there a way that you can bring that role into your business? Can you create a role, for example, let's say you have a social media manager and then you have a Facebook ads manager and maybe you have SEO. Is it possible that you could hire someone in more of a generalist marketing role who could encompass that and even potentially learn from outsource providers, and that's going to save you dollars? If you've been working with outsource providers, potentially you've learned enough to manage that person successfully. It's just one option. When we're outsourcing, because it's easy, and I really, really want you to be cautious about outsourcing and then calling someone a member of your team, because they're not. Especially if they've got their own business, they are not a part of your team. They probably have their own business with their own team. I'm not saying there's not a place for it. There absolutely is. I use it. I support those businesses. But just think about long-term if that's something that you can bring in-house, and think about it in big business. That happens all the time, right? So in big business, let's look at advertising, for example. Companies go to advertising agencies and they scale to a point where they then bring it in-house. Or they bring part of it in-house and outsource part of it. It's just an option for you to consider. And number 7, you're ready for a new challenge. Hells yeah, girl. You set up your business. You have scaled it. You're making money. And you're in a really good place. Maybe now is the time to challenge yourself. step into that leadership role, grow your team, make more money, step away from some of the stuff you're doing. You're basically giving yourself a promotion to leader in your own business. How awesome is that? And you can stretch yourself. You can spend hours, days, years, I'm sure, reading leadership books, understanding what it is to be a great boss, really manifesting that team, that future, and growing your company. I personally have found being a people leader one of the most rewarding things in my career. And I am so excited that I'm in a place where I'm hiring my team for my business. I'm thrilled. It is so amazing to be in a position in your own business where you are able to employ someone and pay them a wage. In my opinion, it's a complete and utter privilege. You came up with an idea, you grew your business, and now you are able to employ someone, pay their wage, put money on their table, and you know, because you're so passionate about what you do, that you are going to be a fantastic boss. And you can learn this and you can lean on others to do this. It's a freaking great challenge. It's very, very exciting. Now, just to go back to what I said, there's no big neon flashing sign to say, hey, you're ready to hire. Hey, you're going to be a great boss. Hey, you're at a point in your career where you can do this. You might never feel 100% ready, but that's okay. And another big tip of mine, and I talk about this all the time on my socials, hire before you are ready. Now, we talk about this in corporate hiring all the time, but reactive hiring is not the best way to go. So when you are at 120% capacity and you are drowning, that is not the best time to hire, because you are just going to hire someone who can probably do the job, maybe not the best person for the job. You need to be strategic. You need to plan your time. And far out, there's so much we're going to talk about that in these episodes. But hire before you're ready. If you have a goal where you're like consistently hitting 12k months and that's the point you want to hire, maybe start hiring when you're hitting 10k months and 12k months are on the horizon. Before you're drowning, when you have time, when you can make a plan. And as I said, you might never feel 100% comfortable. Push yourself, because that person might get you to that 12k month, because they're going to either free up your time or allow you to take on additional clients. So I hope you loved those 7 signs you are ready to hire. I'll just run through them for you again. Number 1, patterns and predictability and profit. Number 2, regular clients, maintaining your clients, keeping your current clients, referrals and repeat business. Number 3, you have sorted your systems. Number 4, you have a wait list or you are regularly booked out. Number 5, you feel fatigued or you are bogged down. Number 6, you are paying too much for outsourcing. And number 7, you are ready for a new challenge. I hope you found this episode useful. Remember, this content is all about you. I am here for you. So hop onto Instagram and DM me and Chrissy. My handle is @hiringadvantage. I'd love you to chat to me and tell me what your feedback was. And just to remind you, we have a super, super exciting giveaway for May and June. And that is a 90-minute hiring strategy with myself. So what I need you to do to qualify for that is to write a review on either Apple or Spotify, telling me what you thought of the episode, and also to tag me in your socials. I don't do a lot of one-to-one coaching because Hiring Advantages, hiring outsourcing piece is really, really busy, but I love coaching and helping you get the most out of your hiring strategy and having a plan to give you ultimate success. So stay in touch and don't forget to tune in next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hiring Advantage podcast. If you have any questions or love the show, head over to @HiringAdvantage on Instagram and let me know. If you learned something today, it would mean the absolute world to me if you left a review or shared this with someone else that you think would benefit from this knowledge. Until next time, happy hiring, queens.